So a number of years ago, when the war in Syria broke out, it kind of captured the attention of the world, especially the refugee issues that that caused. And even our church was captured by that. And part of our reaction and response to that was one, supporting and sponsoring a refugee family to come from Syria to Canada and settle here. But also as part of our response, we got to become partners with GAIN, Global Aid Network in Canada, who do a ton of work in Syria. And Pastor Gamal and his wife Micheline are here this morning. And Pastor Gamal is the pastor at Damascus Baptist Church. And he has been here before. And as a church, we support them. And so we support them financially and through prayer, the work that they're doing in Syria. And if you've been here for a number of years, this is not their first time here. And so it is good to have you back, brother. And Pastor Gamal and Micheline are just going to share some stuff that is going on. And I really pray that God will use this to encourage you, because God is doing some amazing work in Syria right now, even in the midst of war. Amen. So bless us.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, because you are having here, having us here now, and it's a blessing for us to share what God is doing in Syria in this kind of wartime. Before I start, I want to tell you about GAIN. GAIN is, like the pastor Sam mentioned, is a global aid network, and we got a partnership with GAIN in 2013. And from that time till now, you can see we have 5,500 people came to Christ from that day till now. And we used to feed 1,000 family every month. So please pray for that to continue. And I think you are a part of that. And we thank you so much for this partnership. I want to share something about Syria and what God's doing. This is the church I am pastoring. I'm in Damascus. It's a Baptist church, and we started this church 2007. And when we saw, Micheline and I saw the building and registered in the government as a church, but there is no people inside because the pastor be killed many years before that day, and wasn't a pastor for 40 years since we saw the church and we started the ministry there. So we got started in this church with four people: the elder and his wife and his daughter and their daughter and a friend of his daughter. So we start to do evangelism outside the church, share the gospel, bring people to the church, and we did that and from our heart, and God provided 120 before the war started in 2011. So when we started that, actually 120 people were attending this church before the war, and God allowed the war started. When the war started, we praise God of the war. And you surprised for that. The war is good for us, because many people were running to God, and we were that people to hold these people and share the gospel with these people, to share the hope in Christ with these people, and people come to Christ because of the war. And we praise God of that. Those who displaced people in Damascus, actually thousands of people, thousand even you can say, more than 4 million people came from outside Damascus to live in Damascus, and these people were lost. And some of them, they came to Christ because of the war. So this is church we started, and because of the war, because of people who are coming to Christ, and now 1,200 people attending the church every week. So think about four people, and now we have 1,200 people attending the church. Amen. Thank you. It's God's work. It's God's work. It's amazing to see what God is doing even during the wartime. Yes, people are lost because they lost their homes, they lost their properties, they lost their work, but they found Jesus as a savior, which is better than anything else. So when you see this is another church in South, which is in Sweden, it's like 2 hours far from Damascus. This church, plenty or 100% of these people, they are from other background. They are Muslims and Druze. They are not Christian background. So when you see a church like that, and it's growing, year after year, God provide or God pull these people from the lost to be saved in Christ. And it's amazing when you see in a Muslim country, people are coming to Christ like that. It's amazing. It's amazing. Even the Syrians themselves who are living outside Syria, they are surprised when they visit this church. See, this is in Syria. Muslim people, they are gathering in the church and worship God without any fear from the government. Yes, there is a fear, but not that much. There is persecution, but not this much. Because persecution for those who are coming to Christ, it's unbelievable. Even those who are coming from Christian background to be saved in Christ and started to attend evangelical church, they face a lot of problems and a lot of persecution from their families and their relatives and even from the Pope and cardinals or priests or some people like that. But between brackets, Muslims are coming to Christ like that. It's amazing. So we are focusing on small groups at homes, which is better. Because some of people, they are living in very radical areas. So they cannot go to the church because they have that fear from the neighbors, from the relatives. So they like to have a group in at home or in some houses. So they come and share the gospel, study the scripture inside the home or inside the flat. So like this, and even you can see the cover didn't put off. They didn't put off, and they gathered with the covers as well. So, and then we are focusing on visitings. So visits is very important for us because in the visit, you can see the family, you can touch with the children, with the parents, one by one, and you can share the gospel also very easy at home. So, yes, it's risky a little bit from time to time because home with Muslims is not safe that much, but we trust God and we put our life between his hands so he can protect us while we are visiting these people. So that lady at right, one from our volunteers in church, she visited the other lady used to come to the church. And she accepted Christ as a savior, and one day she found, not because of the war, but because of the electricity shot, her house or her flat burned at all, completely damaged. So God provided some money for this family, and we visited them just to provide that money to refurbish the as much as we can for sure, and God provided that help. Another picture, which is another family, that lady, because she is from Muslim background, she came to Christ, and her kids used to come to the church every Saturday, which is the day of ministry of children. We have like 400 children. They used to come every week on Saturday. So that lady, after she accepted Christ, her husband divorced her because she became a believer, and she used to live now alone, and she has to feed her kids, and she has no job. So think about, we have this kind of cases, hundreds of these families like that. So please pray for this kind of people who are coming from Muslim background and live without work, without any resource to live, but God's good. Another family, this is Shadia. Shadia is also from Muslim background, and she accepted Christ years ago during the wartime. And also her husband left her because she became a believer. She has two kids. a daughter and a son. The son, 12 years old, used to go to the school in the morning, government school, and in the evening or afternoon, he has to go and clean the stairs of the buildings to have some few money to live with his mom, because his mom has no work. So this is the situation of many families like that. So part of the parents come to Christ, the other part leave the house. And for me, it's a reason to leave the house because the husband, more these husbands, they cannot provide money for the family to live. So when he found some reason like that, he leaves the family alone with the kids, and they are suffering, he doesn't care. So please pray for these families. Also, another family, that lady, her husband died during the wartime. She has to work hard to provide some money for the kids, and you can imagine how much she can work, or how many times. I mean, not just one work. She has to work maybe twice or three times per day, and many kind of jobs just to provide some money, because inflation is very high in Syria. So before the war, $1 equal 50 Syrian pound. Now $1 equal 600 Syrian pound. Think about the inflation, how it became much bigger than before. This is Abu Fadi. Abu Fadi is has four kids. He used to have a good family, and his wife got sick, and she died with the cancer, and left four kids, four small kids, and she left him like that. So he worked hard, and he married again, and he discovered that the another wife also, she has a disease, so she can't work at home. He has to work outside and inside home. So he was suffering and struggling and asked God, why? Until he found the answer in Christ as a Savior. When we share the gospel with this family, the hope, the love enter this family. So you can see that kind of joy at the face after many years. He lost that joy in his family. So other stories, like the picture at left, you can see they are sitting on the ground, share the gospel on the ground. This family also, that lady, her husband left her because of the war, she hadn't any help in the beginning, and when church visited her with the blessing bag, she got that blessing to see some people, they are helping her, even they don't have that kind of resources. So the lady came to Christ. Their kids used to come to the church every week. So there is a hope for these people. That guy, he lost his foot, and then he has to have that kind of leg or shoes instead of what he lost. So he was suffering with his situation until we shared the gospel with him and he accepted Christ. He's a very smart guy, and now he's studying hard in his college. And pray for him. Pray for him. He needs a lot of support, because he has to change this leg or this shoe from a year to 3 years now. He has to change it every time, and the expense of like $200 per each one. So pray for him. We are focusing on discipleship groups, not just share the gospel. And we have that kind of groups gathered together, and women with women, and men with men, and try to disciple this group. That's why we can say we have more than 60 people. They are volunteers and full-time staff in our church working hard for all of their congregation together. So you can see women with women and men with men. We have some special events with women, like Refa series, for example. It's a series to collect, to gather some ladies and share the gospel with them from the beginning, and then disciple them for 12 lessons. And after 12 lessons, we encourage those who got discipled. So we encourage them to go out and share the gospel with others and bring them to the church. So some of you think about, how many people they are coming to Christ every year, and they are attending the same church. Actually, we have from 800 to 1,000 people come to Christ every year. But because our church is sending outside the country, people immigrated, people go out, move from place to place. So those who are moving, we replace them with new people inside the church. But still, we do the same thing, multiplying disciples to grow the church. Anyway, in children ministries, we have 400 children in the church. They used to come every Saturday, which is day off in Syria. So they used to come, and our church is part of the building. So recently, because children are coming and all the day and go back, they are quarreling a little bit, speaking high, and so the neighbors made that nervous the neighbors. So they start to shout, please change your church. And we are praying now to have big land with a big church outside the building itself. So pray for that. Anyway, we have celebration every month. Last picture, please. You know, we have to bring a lot of cakes. This is 8 cakes, because we have a lot of children celebrate birthday during the month. So we have to do birthday for everyone in the 400. So and also we used to do activities from time to time. Last summer, praise God, because it was safe. There is no bombing in Damascus. Still bombing outside Damascus, but in Damascus it's a little bit safe, or you can say it's safe. So we took them to the stadium to do activities with the children. And you see here in the stadium, they are there. And before we are doing anything like that, we pray together. And then we start the activities, we start sports. So we try to get these children out of their trauma they have because of the war. So most of the children, they have that kind of trauma because of the war. And I don't think you can understand what kind of trauma they have from the war. I remember one time when we gathered, and we had some children from other families. And one doctor, Dr. George, he mentioned something for the children to write, to draw something from their heart. And you cannot imagine, each one of the children drew a war thing, like his parents died and he is alone in his picture. No one told them, draw something in the war. Just draw anything. And each one of the children drew something like that. His father is dead, and he's running, or a tank came and destroyed his home. Something like that. All the children. This kind of trauma they have till now. And we try to help parents, because it's not easy for the parents also to get their children out of the trauma. So we take the children out of their homes, of their church, just to do activities outside to have fun. So also celebration from time to time. We have like 70 people, 70 children celebrate from age to age, from certificate to certificate, from primary school to prep school to high school. So we celebrate that because they are missing that in the schools, because there is not normal schools anymore. So we celebrate that. You can see the happy faces on the screen. We try to do our best with these children, celebrate together, have fun together, as much as we can to encourage them to get out from the trauma. Pray for the children and for the church. One day we took the church for the first time in the mountain. That area was completely evacuated from the war. And recently they returned back to that area to start to have people there, and went to another church there just to celebrate together with the area and encourage our people also to spend the spiritual day together. Pray, worship God, and also do like competition from the Bible. Just have fun instead of just fighting and struggling with the war. It was a good day, and let's go back to the blessing back. When we started to be partnership with GAIN 2013, the blessing bag was a very good blessing for the families. And this is a bag, plenty of food. So we have two strategies. One strategy is to take this blessing bag to visit a home, a house, or a family, because they are Muslim, then they don't have any opportunity to just come to the church. So we have to go there and knock at the door and say, this is blessing bag from the church to you to help you. And you can find a lot of stories behind that. Why you as a Christian help us as Muslims and our people, ISIS, kill your people, Christians. We used to say, because this is God's love. It's not us. Because God loves everyone. So from that point, we start to visit these people or these families from time to time, and until we get the opportunity to share the gospel. And then these people, when they accept Christ as a savior, they used to come to the church, and you saw a church of plenty of Muslim background people. Or at my church in Damascus also, we have a lot of Muslim background. They used to come and attend the church. Even it's not easy for them to come with their neighbors. Anyway, and another strategy, which is people who are hearing the gospel, because they came to the church, we used to feed them also from time to time. Every month we used to give them a blessing bag. It was very helpful for them. It's a blessing for them. Let's go to the distribution, which is here it's a distribution from the church. So we distribute that every month for some families. And other families, like I mentioned, we go to that families and distribute the blessing bag there. But when you see some kind of family and they have no hope, have no resource to live, and then they have a blessing bag of food. Let's go to these stories. We have a very poor family, parents with three kids. This family used to live day by day because the father is a worker, and he has no work regularly. So they have to ask him to come and have work for a day. So the resources is not regularly comes to them. When they get the blessing bag, the mother told us, our children were jumping on the floor and say, oh, there is a rice. Oh, there is a jam. There is a spaghetti. Wow, it's amazing. And they were jumping like that. And she said they started to go to school with a joy. We lost that from years. They couldn't go to school because they don't have something to eat. They are weak, so they cannot go to the school. Now they go to school with sandwiches for the first time. So when you hear something like that, you're encouraged to continue. Even it's hard time, it's bad circumstances, maybe lack of resources, but you see like, yeah, there is a hope even in a blessing bag we are distributing. Another family, they used to come and say, please help us. Okay, we provide another blessing bag for this family, or blankets, or school stuff for children, and you can see the happiness they have after they got the gifts. It's something new for them. And other people, they came to Christ with another way, which is, let me share about Anas. Anas is young man now. He's 20 years old. When he was 15 years old, he used to have a dream in his sleeping, and he used to have that dream like 3 times per week. And he used to dream that same dream for maybe a few months. And he went to his parents and said, Mom, Dad, I'm seeing Jesus in my dream. And Jesus asked me to go to the church. And their parents shouted on him because they are Sunnis, radicals, family, and they live in radical area. So they shouted on him, no, don't say this is Jesus. This is a demon. You don't understand, so I forget it. And because the boy was struggling for that, he stopped to go to school, stopped to talk with his parents, and his situation was so struggling with what he's seeing, what he's talking with his parents. Anyway, at last, his parents suggested to take him to the doctor. And the doctor, after he fixed that, or he saw him and said, your child is very, very smart. He's okay. He has no disease. So the psychiatric said, I can't do anything for him. So the parents said, maybe because this is a demon, so the doctor doesn't understand. So they took him to the imam, to sheikh for in Islam. So the imam tried to say some Quran verses on him, chapters, and after that, I did my best. So Anas came to his parents, told them, look, I am struggling with this, but I am seeing Jesus. I have to go to the church, or else there is no solution. 5 years like that. After 5 years, his mom told him, okay, do whatever you want. He started to go to the other churches and knock at the door. I'm a Muslim. I saw Jesus in my dream. Most of the priests kicked him out. No. Please, go away. Islam is like a Christian. No problem for that. So, anyway. So he failed. So he started to search in the internet. By God's will, he contacted us. And we tried to invite him to the church, and he came to the church as a young man, 20 years old. We shared the gospel with him. He accepted Christ as a savior and go through follow-up process. After 2 weeks, he invited his mom. Because his mom, at the end, told him, do whatever you want, and he was changing. He started to change in his home, start to go to school, start to search for his education, not like before. So his mom saw that changing. And she came to the church just to ask, what did you do with my son to change? And she came, as usual, as usual church here, you have two services. So the pastor has to preach the same ceremony in two services. So I start to preach, but when I saw her, she's new in the church. So I realized, because she covered, completely covered, so I saw her and started to change my ceremony to make, to tell her who is this Jesus is. And after I shared the Christ, with only 10 minutes I started, she started to cry. She was crying during all the service, 30 minutes was crying. And after we finished, we present the gospel, and she prayed and received Christ. And they, both of them, they are attending to the church now every week. So pray for this kind of ministry. It's not easy, yes, but this is God's work. And when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, you can share the gospel completely by the Spirit of God, not by your power. Thank you again for having us here, and please pray for us. You know, some missionaries, they love to go to Middle East to work. And one Saudi guy, one from Saudi Arabia, I met, he said, there is a guy, I know he is a pastor. He used to work for me in Saudi Arabia. And for many years, I asked him to tell me who is Jesus is, but that pastor refused because he has that fear maybe he lose his work in Saudi Arabia. That guy I met, I shared the gospel with him in London one day. So that kind of atmosphere is not easy in the Middle East to share the gospel with Muslims. But we praise God for the war, we praise God for ISIS, because they show up what Islam is. It's a satanic religion, and God's good to have some people on the ground to work hard for him, for his kingdom, to share his light during the or inside the darkness. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time and bless what we shared about, and please the church too. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share what you are doing in our area. We praise God for everyone who knew you and joined your kingdom. We praise you for this blessing church. We pray for the pastor, for all the ministers, for all the congregation. We pray for everyone that you bless them as you blessed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.